45. Mike unwrapped the cloak and looked at the skeleton. Gloria Barker, the biology teacher, had a poster of the human skeleton up in her classroom, complete with labels. Mike had seen it twice. More than enough to give him a basis of comparison. The creature's skeleton was more or less humanoid. An extra bone ran along the back, something flat and wide where the extra arm attached. The sternum was peaked along the front instead of flat. The ribs were asymmetrical, with fewer on the side with the extra arm. The knees and elbows were an odd arrangement. Not quite hinges, not quite ball and sockets. It had an extra toe on the left foot, the one that had broken off. He examined the skull. 49 teeth, 11 of them broken. 24 on top, 25 on bottom. The large eye had its own socket, but it looked like the two small eyes shared one. He couldn't even guess how something like that evolved. The ants carried out pictures of Bob, the wasteland Bob, and he wondered if the creature had developed naturally. Mike looked at it all and had the ants file it. Dozens and dozens of images, all stored alongside frames of the creature alive. The contrast gave him a better sense of muscle structure, but not much. He held up his hands. The blood from the cloak had dried and flaked away. There was almost no sign of it on his fingers, arms, or body. The cloak was spread out. There was another broad patch with a nipple on it, but past that he couldn't see anything to hint at the origins of the material. Maybe just those two patches were human skin. Maybe it all was. How could there be recognizable humans in a world that had allowed this thing to develop? He folded the cloak around the body as best he could. He made a point of hiding the face inside the layers. Then he gathered the whole thing and put it in the trailer. The bones barely weighed 40 pounds. There was no meat left on it, but he twisted the air conditioner knob to high, just in case. Mike went to Jamie's trailer. She sat on her bed in her underwear, eyes closed. She was still wet from the shower. He let her have her moment. He knew how important such moments could be. He grabbed jeans and a shirt from his trailer, then walked back up to the main building. The first aid kit by Anne's printer wasn't as well stocked as the big one. It had more gauze pads and tape, but no actual bandages. He glanced at the hall, toward the door that led out onto the main floor. Tape and pads would have to do. He passed the kitchen and saw Anne sitting at the small table. She had a cup of coffee in her hands with no steam coming off it. Three packets of Advil sat near her wrist. "Hey," he said. "You okay?" She stared past him with wide pupils.
"Yeah,"
she said.
"Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine."
A squad of ants ran by with memories of Villette and his conversation with Reggie held up for view. "It looked like it hit you pretty good."
"I'm fine, just a few bruises."
Then she blinked twice, focused, and saw him shirtless and bloody. She looked at the bandages on his stomach.
"Are you okay?"
"I think so. I just need to wash up and change these."
She opened her lips to say something else, but changed her mind. Her gaze drifted back to the wall, in the direction of the main floor. There was a fresh box of pastries on the counter. He wondered when they'd been brought in. He pushed the box aside without opening it. It felt heavy, and he realized he'd been riding an adrenaline high for almost half an hour. There was a crash in his very near future. He headed into the bathroom. Mike washed his hands, wiped them with a couple of alcohol swabs, and unwrapped himself. The gauze was all red under the bandages. Red blood seemed reassuring, almost cheerful. He tugged at the tape, and his stretching skin reminded him there wasn't anything cheerful about it. Threads of gauze clung to the wounds, and he winced as they popped loose one by one. He looked at his gut in the mirror. The skin around the gashes was shiny from all the ointment Jamie had slathered on. The cuts were wet, but the bleeding seemed to have stopped again. If there had been any of the creature's blood near his wounds, it had vanished with the rest. Just a few more millimeters and the talon-like nails would have left three big rents in his skin. His intestines would have pushed out, forced the wounds even wider. If the creature had stretched its toes, his guts would have spilled onto the floor. The room lost focus for a moment. The walls tilted. He'd reached the crash. He braced his hands on the sink and forced himself to take a few slow breaths. He counted to 10, then opened the first aid kit. Fresh gauze was taped into place. This roll of tape was thinner, and it took half a dozen pieces to make each pad feel secure. He glanced at the bathroom door, then unbuckled his belt. The hem of his jeans was still sticky with blood. So was the front of the crotch and a few spots on the legs. He pried his sneakers off, pushed the jeans down, and kicked them off. There were a few spots along his boxers, too. The creature wouldn't be the only thing going commando today. Mike caught sight of himself in the mirror. The gauze across his stomach was brilliant in the bathroom's light. His hair was a mess. Shock and a bit of blood loss made his skin pale. With the tired rings under his eyes, the transformation was complete. A very skinny Severus Snape stared back at him from the mirror. He shook his head and chuckled. He pulled on the clean clothes, wiped down the belt, and threaded it through the loops. The sneakers were too tight to slip back on, so he untied and retied them. He sealed the first aid kit back up and tossed the bloody clothes in the trash. Anne hadn't moved from her chair in the kitchen. She still held the cold coffee. Her eyes flitted to Mike as he entered, and she managed a weak smile.
Much better?
Thanks, I feel a lot better.
He dropped the first aid kit on the counter and tore open the pastry box. The room wobbled, just for a moment, from the effort. He tossed a scrap of paper tape in the trash, and a green roach skittered away from the plastic barrel. The box was packed full of donuts, muffins, and other pastries. Mike saw two of all the usuals. He picked up one of the chocolate croissants, and then eyed the second one, wondering if he could eat two without making himself sick.
"You want anything?" he asked Anne.
"Might help settle your nerves."
"I'm good."
He tapped the box lid. "Looks like someone screwed up the order. Double everything, if you change your mind."
"It wasn't me," said Anne.
She managed another weak smile. Mike took a bite out of the croissant, and the butter and sugar and chocolate melted on his tongue. He pictured it rushing into his bloodstream to help stabilize him and calm his overtaxed system. He slumped against the wall, closed his eyes, and took another bite. The front door hissed open in the distance. Footsteps echoed in the hall. He opened his eyes in time to see Anne straighten up. Jamie appeared in the doorway. Her hair was still damp, and her t-shirt had wet spots on it. It was inside out, and stitches wrapped around her shoulders. There were wet trails on her cheeks that stood out against the dampness from the shower. In her arms was something bundled in a towel. It twisted for a moment, then settled down in her hands. He caught a glimpse of tan fur and a thick claw. She marched forward and set it down on the table in front of Anne. Anne pushed herself away, and Mike had to set a hand on her shoulder to keep her from tipping over backward.
"It's still spreading,"
Jamie said. She took a step back from the table. The bundle shifted and wiggled. Mike put the pieces together but needed confirmation.
"The instability?"
"Yeah."
"How far?"
The bundle yipped and shook itself. The table rocked a bit. The towel slid and fell away to reveal even more fur.
"Pretty damn far,"
announced Jamie.
"The trailers, which means it's hitting most of the campus. Glitch is gone."
"He got out?"
"He's gone,"
she repeated, looking anywhere except at the animal on the table. The mutt was small, 15 pounds, tops, with floppy ears. It eyed Mike and Anne curiously, yapped at her twice, then got distracted by the coffee cup on the table. Its tail wagged back and forth. Mike stepped past Anne and crouched down to look the dog in the eye. It glanced up at him, then pressed its wet nose against the table and snorted up a few stray particles of food.
"I was getting dressed in the trailer,"
said Jamie.
"And Glitch was on the bed, and then I turned around and—"
She shook her head and nodded her chin at the dog. Mike reached out and took the nylon collar in his hand and worked his way around to the bone-shaped tag. He already knew what it was going to say. Jamie leaned her head against the wall and crossed her arms over her skull.
"Hello, tramp,"
murmured Mike.